Items number four and five. They're combined hearing. Item four is a proposed subdivision rezoning for 454 and 478 Archibald under file DAS Z43 of 2007. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing and the following item will also be heard at the same time, namely item five, which is an application for the establishment of a salvage yard use for 454 and 478 Archibald Street under file DAV 162623 of 2007.
Would the applicant please come forward?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Could we have some time to set up?
Okay. Absolutely.
Do you want to recess or just?
Well, let's take 5 minutes.
Sure.
Sure. We'll take a 5-minute recess for the setup.
Okay.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting back to order to deal with the final two issues of the evening. We're back in St. Boniface at 454 and 478 Archibald Street. Applicant Ross Mitchell, we're on behalf of the applicant.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
You are the applicant.
My name is Ross Mitchell of MMM Group, 93 Lombard Suite 111. We're here to present an application for rezoning and subdivision, DASZ 235 of 07, and it's accompanied by a use variance under DAV 07-162623D. Now, I'm here and very pleased to represent Gerdau and Mayor Steele, who own and operate the Selkirk Rolling Mill. And the application before you tonight is to rezone the lands from M2 to M3 to permit a recycling facility, a metal sorting and transfer facility in connection with the Selkirk Rolling Mill. And I'm pleased to introduce a couple of representatives from Gerdau Mayor Steele. We have Joel Gardner, who is the environmental manager, and we have Mark Mossy, who is their operations manager. And these folks have come in from Whitby to present their proposal and to respond to any questions you have.
I'm sorry, they've come from where?
Whitby, Ontario.
Whitby, Ontario.
And we have James Dart here as well, who is an account manager at Selkirk, who is in the gallery as well. I'm here from MMM Group. We also have another planner, Frieder Aldinger, who is here and may respond. Frieder's behind me here. He may respond to questions, too, if they're in the area of in his particular area. We've submitted some materials tonight, copies of the open house storyboards and invitation. And we've also included a couple of maps, one showing the area, an air photo of the area showing where some of the registrants live in relation to the site. And we also have some renderings of the site showing the layout, the operations layout, and some of the landscaping treatments along Archibald. And they give a pretty good indication or illustration of how the site will look. We have a PowerPoint presentation. Again, it's the storyboards and the two figures that are on the stands. We're glad the PowerPoint works. We'll probably be referring to that mostly. I'd like to introduce Mark Mossy now, the operations manager, who's going to describe and company, explain their purpose, and give you some background. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. You guys can all read, so I'm not going to go through everything on the couple of slides I'm going to present. The point I'd like to make, or the couple of points I'd like to make from the first slide, are that we're a significant size, our company, you know, we're publicly traded. We're a professional organization, which may help to allay some of the fears people have about the mind's eye view of what a scrap operation is. And I'll get into that in a little bit. The other thing from this is that we have a vision, a mission, and values. And these things aren't only, what do you want to call this? Corporate doublespeak, if you will. This is something that we use to guide our decision making, our strategy setting, and all this. We try and live by what we say there in our day-to-day operations. Can you flip forward, please? So, Gerdau Mayor Gerdau Ameristeel Recycling, the scrap operating arm of Gerdau Ameristeel. We've got 12 scrap divisions that we run, six of those in Ontario. We're also in upstate New York, New Jersey, and North Dakota. We handle substantial volume on an annual basis through all those facilities. You know, we won the Distinguished Recycler of the Year through the SMA and the Environmental Achievement Award from the Whitby Chamber of Commerce just recently. We're quite proud of those. And our environmental policy and guidelines, again, this is not just corporate doublespeak. These are things that we work to and try and live to in how we run our businesses. I thought there were maybe three questions I would try and answer with respect to why we're here tonight. And the first question is, why do we want to pursue a property in the Winnipeg area? Well, the reason we want to be in Winnipeg, as in any urban center, scrap is generated in an urban center. We're after the light appliances, the light residential, light commercial scrap that we can use ultimately as feed for our steel mill up in Selkirk. Scrap buying at the source, you know, will save us money and help maintain a competitive advantage for the Selkirk mill. And ultimately, this is what this is all about. You know, the Selkirk mill has been a long-term employer there, a total of about 700 employees between the scrapyard and the steel mill itself, and a good, sustainable business and partner in the community for a long time. So why Winnipeg now? Well, there have been some consolidation moves in Winnipeg and some changes in ownership in Winnipeg, which have changed the local scrap market dynamic here. Traditionally, this area has been relatively isolated by geography and by logistics, and the local market has been a fairly cheap place to buy scrap, which has given our steel mill a competitive advantage. We want to move into Winnipeg in order to defend our market share and ultimately help defend the competitive advantage for the steel mill. So the next question is, why this particular piece of property? Well, the location is ideal. It's right local to the urban supply that I mentioned a minute ago. Another key aspect of this operation is there are two rail spurs servicing this piece of property. One belongs to CN and one to CP, giving us the flexibility to choose our rail provider for either shipping or receiving of scrap and optimize our freight costs. Also, the size of the property, the quality of the ground there, the existing building, all make it a great location for running a scrap yard. The last question I thought that I would table, and you might be asking, well, why Gerdau Ameristeel Recycling? If we know why we want to be here and such, then why us? Well, as I mentioned before, we're a publicly traded company. Not only do we have a vision, mission, and values, but we have a responsibility to our shareholders and legal responsibilities to be ethical in what we do and responsible in what we do. Secondly, as I mentioned before, our business represents a successful long-term partner for the local community, and I guess the capital region is how this is referred to around here. And thirdly, we don't represent your average junkyard. We're not Sanford and Son. You know, again, the mind's eye view of scrap all over the place, giant piles of who knows what, and all the things that are associated with that. We're a professional company. We're a modern company. We're about efficiency. Running things with systems in a systematic way, and we're in it for the long haul. A key point for me to mention as well is that the nature of our business, given that we are upstream to a steel mill, when you think of you know, your average scrap yard again or junkyard, you think of big piles of scrap. Well, why would they carry big piles of scrap? That's money sitting in a pile. The reality is that you know, a typical way to run a yard is to try and build inventory for times when the market peaks and then you sell all your scrap when the pricing is the highest. But we have no incentive to do that. We ship at cost to our own steel mill. We own the consumer, or we are part of the consumer. So as soon as scrap hits our ground and we have enough to ship efficiently via truckload or railroad, it makes sense for us from an operational efficiency standpoint and a costing standpoint for us to move that material as quickly as we can. So we should not. We don't have any motivation to build the type of piles that you would see in a traditional yard. That's pretty much all I wanted to cover, so I'll hand over back to Ross at this point. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, this just shows the site context there, a photo of the site itself. It's on Archibald, of course. It's bounded on the east or northeast by the CP main line, and the CN main line cuts across as well towards the north side of the site. I guess you can go to the next slide. This shows get this thing to work. This shows an air photo of the site with the basic outlines of the operation. So you have there's an office building and a waste scale that's going to remain in this location here. The main approach and the only the primary approach from Archibald is existing, and it's right to the north of the office building. Here's a secondary or emergency access approach should it be required, but that approach is existing as well. This shows a landscape berm along Archibald and fenced to screen the site visually. It shows a new 10,000 square foot non-ferrous warehouse. Non-ferrous metals are generally more valuable and they're contained. They'd be contained in this building. It shows a CP spur line, which would have to be reestablished, and two existing CN spur lines. And it indicates where the ferrous metal storage would occur, and that would be towards the sort of, east side of the site, as far away from Archibald as possible. These would be areas for loading the rail cars. I guess you can go to the next. This is just a rundown on the site operations. It is a sorting and transfer station for recycled metal. There'll be a light processing, which involves torching and shearing. And the metal will be, they expect to process about 2,000 tons of recyclable metals a month, which isn't a large operation. There's some shredders in the world that can do that in a day. But there is no shredder involved here. It's strictly light handling. There's good rail connections, and which will be used to take the recyclable metals to Selkirk. Mentioned the building. It will employ about 3 to 5 people per shift. Their plans are to operate during regular business hours. And I'll just make a note here. I believe the planner recommended in the zoning agreement that those hours be 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. I subsequently had discussions with Gerdau, and they're asking if that could be extended from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, Monday through Friday. Weekends, of course, there's no activity. They have, again, strict environmental regulations. They'll be adhering to any noise guidelines and emission standards that relate to an operation of this nature. It does require a Class 1 environmental license, and we've applied for that. And they will not accept hazardous waste. There's a gate policy that prevents any hazardous materials or goods containing hazardous materials from coming on site. There's another item in the planner's report that I think requires clarification. It implies that all of the handling of the material will occur in an enclosed building. That is the case for the non-ferrous metals, but the ferrous material, it does involve the outside storage and the activities involved with loading and unloading recycled metals. The grappling magnet and the shearing process is done outside. This is just again the site layout. It does show the berm and fence that would be constructed along the Archibald frontage. The balance of the site is chain link that's existing. The apron area and the parking area will be paved in addition to the approach to prevent the tracking of any material on site out to Archibald. Although the site is fairly well compacted, if you'll recall the operation that was here before the site was demolished, was a very large grain handling and storage facility. In itself was an M3 use, actually. It was a very intensive use, a lot of heavy traffic. But the site it doesn't require much preparation since the buildings have been demolished. It's pretty much very hard, compacted gravel surface. There's quite a bit of concrete apron around as well. Overall, the site is located in the St. Boniface industrial area. It's a designated industrial policy area. It requires an M3 rezoning, principally because outside storage is not permitted in M. Is there someone trying to get in? Outside storage is not permitted in M2 zones. And, of course, what they consider a salvage yard or a recycling yard like this does have outside storage. They'd reuse the existing office building and construct the warehouse building for the non-ferrous materials. Again, the main access, the public access, is through the existing approach north of the current office building. Traffic generation, it's estimated at 10 vehicles per hour. And that's, householders dropping off goods. There'd be peddler traffic, mostly small trucks. And then there would be vehicles leaving the site, transport trailers, estimated about 5 per day, taking scrap up to the mill. Actually, if you consider that 2,000 tons a month translates into about 3 rail cars per day, if the material was all trucked or all moved by rail, it'd be about 3 cars per day. And if it was all moved by truck, it'd be about 5 trucks per day leaving the site. Now, there'll be a mix of rail and road, so it's probably something less than 5 vehicles, 5 trucks, transport trailers a day. The site's been vacant. We believe it's a positive use of industrial land. It's in an industrial area, of course. We've oriented the site operations to keep the metal handling as far away from Archibald as possible. We've designed the site with the landscaping, the berm, and fencing along Archibald to screen the operation. It's a low impact relative. There's about something like 17,000 vehicles a day on this portion of Archibald, and this would contribute less than 1% to that traffic. So Archibald is a heavily traveled street. It's a truck route. And it is it's an environmentally responsible operation. As a matter of fact, operations of this nature were considered a Class 2 under the Manitoba Environment Act. Class 3 being the most significant environmental impacts. They moved it from Class 2 to Class 1, simply in recognition of the importance of recycling to the environment, and they want to encourage this kind of use. Actually, you can have a household recycling operation here, like the blue box type of recycling. You could establish that operation here by right. And that would probably generate significantly more traffic, and certainly there's a lot of other impacts related to just the nature of household recycling. Is there one more? Again, this demonstrates graphically how the site's going to be screened. These are numbered. This perspective is looking to the sort of southeast from the site. This is the corner right here along Archibald. Here's the existing building and the waste scale at the back and the new building back here. And this indicates where the scrap will be piled. View two, this shows a before and after. This is an existing viewpoint right at Archibald, looking to the northeast. And here's the existing office building and sign. Or I'm sorry, this is actually Brothers Auto Body here. And this shows the fencing and the tree planting and the new building, the non-ferrous building here. This is a house at the corner of Archibald. And these are shots looking across the street in front of the main entrance to the building and in front of the non-ferrous building, just looking across Archibald. This is a type of grappling magnet that would be employed on site. Here's a rail car here, one here, and it just shows, it's hard to make out, but it just indicates that that's the type of equipment. And in addition, there's a shear, which is basically an instrument like this with what was essentially like a big metal shear. And it's not a noisy operation. This shows where the ferrous material would be stored. And we've got some existing uses here, including the auto body and the craft line kitchen or countertops plant here. And actually, the best thing in terms of noise attenuation, well, I'm sure that'll come out. We have buildings, and buildings provide good noise attenuation, as does this kind of berming and fencing, landscaping, and just the separation itself. This shows, and these are, I believe, 200-meter circles radiating out from the site, indicating here's the residential area here, and I don't know if you can make out the, maybe go to the next screen, I'm not sure. These red dots indicate where the registrants at the open house live in relation to the site. I'll just briefly run down the open house. The open house was held on February 12th, 7 to 9. There's about 200 invitations sent out and about 14 guests registered at the door. And we handed out surveys, and we had two people dropped off or filled the surveys out and dropped them off. Basically, the major concern was, well, people have this image of a sort of a conventional or traditional scrapyard with huge piles of scrap, possibly like the operation that currently goes on to the northeast. But there is, it's not like that. This material is going to be moved through as quickly, sorted and moved through as quickly as possible at Selkirk Mill. There's a requirement that the metal piles not exceed the height of the fence, and that's about 10 feet with the berm. So, I mean, they won't be visible from that sense. There's a concern about the implications of zoning the site to M3, and we tried to emphasize that there will be a zoning agreement on the site, limiting it to this particular use and whatever other conditions the committee deems reasonable to ensure that this has minimal impact. Did you have a question? Or
I have a couple questions when you're done, if you could.
Sure. Well, I mean, there's folks here that have something to say, so we'll respond to any issues and concerns.
Sure. Could you tell us about the license, the environmental license from conservation? What's that process entail?
Well, it's basically you submit a description of the operation, and it's reviewed by Manitoba Conservation.
Are there public meetings? Or?
There's a registry. Anything that's any of the material that we submit is placed on a public registry and it's advertised. There's an application. It'll be advertised in the newspapers, and the material will be available for public review. There's a phase, in addition to the application for the license, which describes the operation, and there's a phase one environmental site assessment that's been done for the site, and that's part of the package.
So has that process started already?
That process is well, we're just in the process of compiling the application material.
Could you tell me anything about the emissions from the use?
Yes, I will. I'll briefly. The application will be reviewed by the folks at the conservation, and if they have any issues related to emissions, then those will be raised, and we'll have to address them. And while it's the operations itself aren't in and of themselves noxious. I mean, there's been a scrapyard operating across the tracks there for a number of years. Apart from it's again, visually, I suppose the piles are quite high. It's more of a traditional operation because they do accumulate scrap. But I'm not sure if you've had any complaints or about noise or dust or traffic related to that. But essentially, there's no shredder involved here, so there's no equipment that's sort of running constantly chewing up metal. The metal.
But there will be some emissions coming out of the industry. Will be some emissions?
No, there won't be.
No.
Yeah, maybe.
I can speak to. Typically, you would have what they would call fugitive emissions. So. Of course, exhausts from the machines, and depending on the type, the season, what we usually put together is a fugitive dust management plan, just to keep the dust down, suppressed on site during hot summer months. But other than that, there's really no any sort of emission that you could classify as a point source of any sort.
Okay, Councillor Swindell, you have a question.
I've seen a number of these facilities, and I got to tell you, none of them have these nice little symmetrical bundles or piles of them with materials all around. They tend to become sort of a hodgepodge. You operate, your company operates a number of these facilities throughout North America. Do you have any pictures of what existing facilities look like?
We do, yes.
Maybe while he's looking for that, I got a couple other questions here. How many employees would you have at a facility like this?
We're projecting 3 to 5.
That's it.
Yes.
Correct. Any other questions, Councillor?
Yeah, I got a couple more.
Could you define for me, while Councillor Swindell was looking at the pictures, what ferrous and non-ferrous actually means?
Ferrous, basically anything that contains iron or things that are magnetic. Non-ferrous are the coppers, the aluminums, things like that,
okay.
which are not desirable for the electric arc furnace.
For what?
For the melt shop in Selkirk. That's okay. Stuff they do not want in their stream.
Makes sense. French root word. Councillor Swindell?
Ross, you made reference to the fact that a zoning agreement would be attached to this that would limit the use to only to this facility. What I'm reading here, what it tells me is that the zoning agreement that would be attached would just be around a plan approval, that it wouldn't actually limit.
Well, I'm suggesting that if that was a concern, that it could essentially restrict the use of this site to a Gairdow Mare Steel's recycling operation.
I don't. I don't think we can restrict something to the use of a specific company.
To zone lands.
To metal recycling.
Metal recycling.
Anything else, Councillor?
I'll wait till later.
Okay, we have, thank you, Ross and the team. We have other people here, both in support and in opposition. You may even be up there. In support, Frieder Aldinger.
Ross,
yourself.
I'll get you guys to go back.
Mark Macy. Mark. In support, Jim Dant. Jim Dant, registered in support. In support, Joel Gardner. Joel. And in support, Janet, what did that say? Mikowski?
Yeah.
In support. Janik. Yannick. Anybody else in support who did not fill out a sheet? Okay, now we're going to hear from these folks that are in opposition, if I can find the list. Is there a representative, first of all, who would like to come down and speak? Teresa, why don't you come down first? In opposition, please state your name and your address for the public record.
It's Teresa Quick. And I'm at 532 Doucette Street.
Welcome.
Good evening. I'm a resident of the Dufresne neighborhood located to the southwest of the proposed development. My family has owned our house on Doucette Street for some 50 years, and I'm a lifelong resident of the Dufresne neighborhood. I appear at today's hearing to speak in opposition to the proposal to rezone the property at 454 Archibald from an M2 district to an M3 district. I and many other residents of the Dufresne neighborhood are very concerned about the proposed rezoning, as we believe the zoning proposal for the site is not compatible with the surrounding area, and the proposed use presents significant risk to us in the form of noise, dust, odors, and traffic. I have with me this evening a petition signed by 100 of my neighbors expressing their opposition to the proposed zoning. We collected these signatures over the weekend, and these signatures are only the people we were able to contact during that short period. While canvassing the neighborhood, we only encountered three people who declined to sign the petition. The proponent is asking the city to change the zoning bylaw to designate the property at 454 Archibald to M3. According to the city's bylaw 6400/94, an M3 industrial district allows for heavy industrial development of a potentially noxious nature. This is not the type of land use that should be permitted to locate close to residential areas at a location where there is significant potential for conflict with neighboring land uses. Changing the zoning bylaw to permit this development is a step backwards. Archibald Street and the adjacent neighborhood are in an area in transition. There has been a reduction in the amount of heavy industry along Archibald, with current uses representing a mixture of light manufacturing, warehousing, commercial, and residential uses. The land uses on Archibald are an important buffer between the heavy industry to the east and the commercial and residential areas to the west. Again, this is not an appropriate location for heavy industry. The type of use proposed for the site would be more properly located in an existing M3 zoning district. The existing levels of vehicle traffic cutting through our neighborhood via Dufresne is a significant concern. We believe increased traffic generated by the proposed development will make the existing situation worse. Heavy trucks and other vehicles turning at the intersection of Marion and Archibald encourage other vehicles to use Dufresne and other streets in our neighborhood as a bypass. Furthermore, we are told the new facility will attract peddler traffic in smaller trucks. These vehicles will also use the streets in our neighborhood to bypass traffic jams at Archibald and Marion. The report from the city's public service states that our concerns about traffic, while valid, should not have a bearing on the subject application. The report notes that Archibald is a major truck route and that another use could locate on the property that could generate as much or more traffic. That is a possibility, and quite frankly, we think it is a very poor reason for approving this application. How does approving a use that is currently not allowed and which could increase traffic problems make sense? There are plenty of other land uses that could occur on the site that would not create as many problems. The report prepared by the city's public service recommends that rezoning be approved subject to conditions. We say this is wrong. This area is not suitable for heavy industry, and as I said earlier, to change the zoning to M3 is a major step backwards. The members of the Community Committee and the City of Winnipeg staff should be well aware of the difficulties in effectively monitoring and enforcing compliance with conditions on land use. I just want to remind you that the plant has not even been approved, and they already want to change the hours of operation and the conditions of use while they were standing here. So why subject the residents of the area to this unnecessary risk? Why propose a change that allows heavy industrial development of a potentially noxious nature that could negatively impact the quality of life in our residential neighborhood? Why do this when there are other areas already designated for this type of use? I want to remind everybody that the city was trying to get everybody to fix up their homes and renovate and try to revitalize the city, and specifically St. Boniface. So if they put something such as this there, why would anybody do that? So we urge the members of the Riel Community Committee to turn down the proposed rezoning. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Any questions?
Thank you. There's no questions, Teresa. It was a very clear presentation. I've got about a dozen people in opposition. I'm going to read your name. You can come down, make a short presentation, or you can simply register your opposition. So let's begin. Daniel Lambert.
Just a reminder, and I forgot to state this at the outset, that only new information will be heard by committee, so if you're going to repeat something that's already been said.
I was going to provide a sort of a historical context.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, Daniel Lambert, 534 Doucette, and I'm here to speak against this proposed zoning change. I've been a resident of the area for about 2 years now, and when I moved in, anybody that's been near the area has seen the fact that it's a residential area that is very in close contact, in fact, directly adjacent to a very old industrial park. So I began to think what the historical sort of patterns have been in terms of this conflict between residential and the industrial park. And I found this great source on a website that actually sort of archived back all of the by street name, some of the things that appeared before the St. Boniface City Hall prior to Unicity. And it just sort of put this entire thing into context. I'm just going to go through it quite quickly. 1958, there was a grain company that was forced to clean up from the site of the St. Boniface Grain Fuel Company on Sherry. And just to note, all these roads are currently purely residential. In 1952, there was complaints about pigs being kept into the neighborhood. In 1940, there was complaints about from the Giroux Street neighbors where there was unbearable odors coming out of Archibald. And in 1915 in Doucette, there was actually an arbiter that had opened up on Doucette itself. Now, an arbiter, if people don't understand the term, is essentially a slaughterhouse. So back when this area first developed or was first planned, which was in around the 1915, the city planners at the time had come to the conclusion that there was little to no problems with setting up a slaughterhouse immediately beside a residential. So what I feel we're dealing with here is the legacy of planning decisions of the past. We've come a long way in the 90 years since, and we've come up with zones and guidelines for zones and everything in that way. But unfortunately, we still have to deal with those legacy issues. And unfortunately, while the the current company here has a plan in terms of mitigating the impacts. It's still going to be a legacy issue in the sense that this is going to turn into an M3, and therefore, as we've seen with the St. Barth Industrial Park, where there's massive turnover in terms of industrial uses, that a future less benign industrial use could end up on this site without having to really come before this council. So with those kinds of things in mind, I'd hope that you'd reject this application. And also, one other thing. I sort of was checking out on Google Earth exactly the distances between this proposed site and the current residence, and I calculated only 30 meters between existing residential areas and the site itself. So to have a M3 site directly nearby just doesn't make sense, and I feel that it could be a legacy mistake for the future. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Daniel. You're obviously very good at research. Is there any questions? Okay. C.L. Chapel. I will.
I can't.
Pardon me?
Just a reminder to the gallery. Please refrain from clapping or anything during the presentations. It would be appreciated. Thank you.
C.L. Chapel, welcome.
My name is C.L. Chapel, and I appear with Mr. Brian Klein. We are the solicitors for the neighbors to the north or east, I'm not sure which, on the other side of the railway tracks, Mr. Chairman. Industrial Metals Limited. Mr. Chairman, at the outset, I was thinking as I listened to Mr. Mitchell's presentation that we had the Oscars last night, and I'm sure after we see and hear his presentation, he would qualify, because I've never seen a better and smoother presentation to sell a junkyard. And my good friend, Mr. Lawler and Mr. Mitchell, both planners of some repute, are now in support of this land use. And I suggest most respectfully, Mr. Chairman, that that's a mistake. We're now proceeding with this bylaw, Mr. Chairman, under the provisions of 6400. Under 6400, I file with you a zoning map for the subject property. That you will note shows the residential property that Teresa and the other gentleman made reference to. And across the street, you will note that there exists an M2 zoning category. This is not property boundary lines, but just rather the zoning lines, Mr. Chairman. The M2 lands. Behind those M2 lands are M3. Those M3 lands are owned by Industrial Metals Limited. Industrial Metals Limited occupies about 15.5 acres, has been in the business of a salvage yard or wrecking yard, and I'm referring specifically, Mr. Chairman, to the existing land uses under the industrial category, industrial districts, in 6400. There is a permitted use of a salvage yard in the M3 district, not in the M2 district. It's not permitted. It's not conditional. You can't do it. There is also shown as a use under 6400 as a wrecking yard. That's permitted in an M3, Mr. Chairman, not permitted in M2. Mr. Chairman, I suggest to you most respectfully, there is no more obnoxious land use than a junkyard, a wrecking yard, a salvage yard, or any other type of use. That is the most obnoxious use. It's the highest end in the category. Here we have an application come forward to rezone land and subdivide land so as to accomplish an M3 zoning for that use. I suggest to you that that makes absolutely no sense from a planning point of view. References being made, Mr. Chairman, to Plan Winnipeg. Yes, this is Plan Winnipeg. Yes, we have an industrial area, but what have we done with the industrial area? We phase out from the M3 and M2, commercial, and then residential. You get a stage progression. That's called planning, or used to be called planning. What have we got here? We now have the residential that the folks before made reference to. Then we have a small strip of commercial. Then we have Archibald Boulevard, and now we're told we should have an M3 use there. That's not phasing, Mr. Chairman. I find it of interest as well that the applicant, of course, goes to someone as knowledgeable as Mr. Mitchell to bring forward this application at this particular time. Mr. Chairman, the City Council, after many months, has legislated Bylaw 200 of 06. That bylaw is our new zoning bylaw. It has mapping as well, Mr. Chairman. And I had that map run over as well.
You have us both 6,400.
Pardon?
Just so you know, they both say 6,400 of 95 on there.
Yes, one is 6,400 up at the top and the other is 200.
No, they're both 6,400.
Oh, I'm sorry, I've got 200 here. And I wonder, why did this application proceed under 6,400 when we know we've got the existing zoning bylaw coming forward under 200? Well, if we go to 200, Mr. Chairman, I find some very, very interesting provisions. And this is something that is within your purview because it is legislated. Under the industrial district, Mr. Chairman, you now have, under Part 4 of Bylaw 200, a classification called wrecking and salvage yard. They've now combined them. Permitted use with a star, subject to Section 104 of the bylaw, in the M3. And then if I go to Section 104, I have an interesting statement. This is what it says about wrecking or salvage yard. Wrecking or salvage yards must comply with the following standards. One, the site must be maintained in good condition, free of weeds, dust, trash, debris. Two, the site must be screened by a solid fence at least 6 foot in height. Three, no materials or supplies shall be stored above the level of the screening fence. That's what Section 104 reads. I heard Mr. Mitchell say, well, the peddlers bring scrap. Scrap is coming in from the neighborhood to this location. Scrap can be anything. Is it dust? Of course. Is it debris? Of course. Is it trash? Of course. That's the very nature of the land use. There's also a further provision that I believe applies with respect to a distance requirement in this bylaw, and I'll have this pulled up for you in a second, Mr. Chairman. It's leaved in there someplace. But this provision is that you cannot have this industrial use within 300 feet of the nearest residentially zoned property. I didn't take a tape measure, Mr. Chairman, but I drove by it, and I believe that this is within 300 feet. Mr. Chairman, the next point I would draw to your attention is there is no M3 land, zoned M3, on the residential side of Archibald, all the way down the street between Marion and Provence. The only M3 site is found north of Mission. Mr. Chairman, my clients are competitors with Gerda, so what I say, take with a grain of salt, if you will, because I say to them this, we have been in business for 40 years here, or more. We have 30 employees employed in our premises. We have and operate a salvage yard, and have for many, many years. We don't have a problem with the neighborhood, or we never have. And we don't look for problems. And from our perspective, if you bring this scrap salvage yard closer to the residential, you're bringing problems to us. That's why we're opposed to it. From a standard, Mr. Chairman, they can go and get M3 land elsewhere in the city of Winnipeg, the rural municipality of Springfield, or wherever else the city planning department may want wrecking yards or salvage yards located. I don't have a problem with it. That's what it's zoned for. But this land was never intended or zoned for this use. And for that reason, and that reason alone, it's our respectful submission to the committee that this application ought to be denied and that the applicants ought to go and find appropriately zoned property and bring forward their application for consideration in a proper zoning category. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chappell. Questions? Councillor Swindell?
You can tell me the difference between a theatrical planner and a grandstanding lawyer.
Well, you know, I'm a planner that is frustrated, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. That was...
Thank you.
Please
don't clap. Thank you.
No clapping in this chamber. Brian Klein, registered in opposition. I'm going to continue the list. Walter Wanda Helen Alesco, in opposition. Tim Saint-Vincent, opposition. Jim Thomas, in opposition. Will Antoniuk.
Jim, did you want to speak?
Did you want to speak, Jim? Come on down. Jim.
Yeah, good evening. Yes, the name's Jim Thomas. I'm a consulting planner and landscape architect with the firm Hildeman Thomas Frank Cram, and I appear this evening in support of the residents of the Dufresne neighborhood who have spoken to you already. I have a brief report here, the content of which includes some of the points that have been made by previous speakers. Well, I'll try not to repeat that, but what I wanted to do was just to review some of the planning context for this application and address a number of items, including Plan Winnipeg 2020 and certain what I call good planning practice, principles of good planning practice. I also include some content with respect to the existing old zoning bylaw and the new zoning bylaw, which Mr. Chappell was referring to. I have a map included in here which shows perhaps a little bit more clearly the zoning designations in the vicinity of the site in the Dufresne neighborhood. So I'll just, in terms of abbreviating it, I begin with sort of some consideration of what I think is important here, some four fundamental principles of good planning practice that I think are relevant to this proposal. One is that land uses that could generate potential nuisances, such as noise, odor, dust, traffic, visual impacts, etc., should be physically separated from land uses, such as residential, that could be adversely affected. Obviously, that's common sense and one of the founding and fundamental principles of our land use planning approach and ethic. B, there are distinct differences between heavy industry and other types of industrial use. Heavy industry is typically treated as one, if not the land use category with the greatest potential to generate such nuisances. C, land uses such as light and medium industry, open space, and certain types of commercial use are typically located to act as a buffer between heavy industry and residential areas. And D, the integrity and stability of existing residential areas should be protected to encourage investment and maintenance and improvement by property owners. So these fundamental principles of good planning practice are intended not only to protect residential areas from the adverse effects of heavy industry, but also to protect industry. Because if located in proximity to residential areas, industry can face the risk of restrictions being posed on its operations in response to complaints from neighboring land uses. Now, these fundamental principles of good planning practice are reflected in the city's plan, Plan Winnipeg 2020. I've selected a number of the policy statements that are relevant to this case, and I'm going to quote from those. For example, under providing economic direction and support, the plan says that the city shall implement an industrial land planning strategy by determining the best strategic sites for industrial property developments while ensuring compatibility with environmental regulations, existing industrial developments, residential areas, and available infrastructure. Under Section 3B, guiding land use, the city shall promote vibrant neighborhoods by encouraging and accommodating within new and existing developments a variety of compatible mixed uses, including light industrial development, as industrial park standards, as buffer, where appropriate, between residential developments, major traffic arteries or railways, and other incompatible uses. It goes on to say the city shall accommodate new industrial areas within locations designated on Policy Plate A, which is a map, of course, in the Plan Winnipeg 2020, evaluating new industrial development proposals to ensure that existing neighborhoods are protected, restricting land uses in industrial areas where warranted to industrial land uses only in order to promote stability and predictability. So as I say, it's a two-way street. Allowing the possible introduction of commercial uses in industrial areas to act as a buffer between the industrial uses and adjacent uses. The city shall provide ongoing stewardship of industrial areas to promote their long-term viability and minimize land use conflicts by evaluating new residential development proposals to ensure that existing industrial operations in the vicinity are protected. So these policy statements are consistent with the principles of separating industrial and residential development, minimizing potential for land use conflicts, establishing buffers between such uses, protecting existing neighborhoods, promoting sustainability and predictability, and promoting long-term viability of industrial operations. Without going into significant detail with respect to the zoning bylaw 6494, there is material in here and excerpts from that zoning bylaw, which I believe show that it's consistent, again, with these fundamental principles. Similarly, the new zoning bylaw, which comes into effect next week, is also consistent with these planning principles in that the area zoned in the vicinity of this facility in the vicinity of the Dufresne neighborhood, as you can see on the color map. There's a strip of M2 industrial between the M3 heavy industrial and the residential neighborhood. And in fact, if you look at the St. Boniface and Mission industrial area, you'll find that that's a fairly typical and preferred approach to providing separation, and that the, in fact, there's a couple of things that should be noted here, that the proposal and the open house proposal and the planning report both rightfully say that this property is within an industrial district. But I think to stop there, it's misleading, because as we know, that there are three or more, in fact, in the current zoning bylaw, there's nine distinct types of industrial development. And but quite clearly, as was pointed out in the zoning bylaw, there's separate categories for heavy, medium, and light industrial in the new zoning bylaw, and these uses are quite clearly intended to be treated differently. In this case, the property is in the industrial district, but it's really on the fringe of the industrial district, and therefore is in that buffer area that's so important to provide separation and diminish conflicts between heavy industrial use with potential noxious outcomes and residential neighborhoods that are in the vicinity. And in this case, we have the Dufresne neighborhood and also other neighborhoods which are seeing some signs of revitalization and transition, including on the opposite side of the Seine River, the new development and infill and proposals for condominium development. We have new commercial institution and institutional development south in Archibald. And as was pointed out rightly, as the many of the older heavy industrial uses that are along this strip have disappeared, have phased out, or on their way out. So in my view, the designating this property as heavy industrial is a step backwards. It's not in keeping with the intentions of Plan Winnipeg or with good, sound planning policy. So in conclusion, I would say that the proposed rezoning of the property at 454 Archibald has significant potential to have adverse effects on the surrounding area, including the Dufresne neighborhood. The proposed use and the proposal to change the zoning bylaw to allow heavy industry are not consistent with good planning practice, with the policies of Plan Winnipeg, the city's current zoning bylaw, or the city's new zoning bylaw. And the proposal to rezone the property to M3 Industrial District should be denied.
Thank you, Jim. Any questions? Hearing none. Thank you, Jim. Continue down the list. Will Antoniuk in opposition. Holly Moncrief in opposition. Zenon Kuzemchak, registered in opposition. Frank Jacques in opposition. Josh Chizik in opposition. And Clifford Chizik in opposition. Is there anyone else who hasn't registered that is in opposition to this? Ron Quick. Ron, if you want to, you can fill out a form. Oh, did you? Yes, Teresa and Ron. There you go. Both in opposition. Would the applicants please come back? Ross, you've heard the concerns of
yes.
The...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's a couple of things. I'd like to address some of the land use planning issues, but I believe Mark Mossy would be sort of better at maybe addressing this interesting wrinkle that we have someone who's perceived to be a competitor. I'm not sure that that's the case, but who has apparently operated without significant negative impacts in the neighborhood for a number of years. So I might ask Mark Mosey to address some of the business aspects of the opponent's presentation. Is that all right?
It was brought up as an issue, so I'll let you rebut it.
Now, I'll just run through. There is a petition before you of 100 with 100 signatures, and it's certainly a way of conveying a neighborhood concern. But I don't know if someone came around with a petition in my neighborhood, I'd probably sign it too, no matter what it was. We sent out 200 invitations, and you have a copy of them. I mean, it says we're not hiding anything. This is what we're planning to do. We're having a public open house. Everything is on the table. We had 14 people come out, and only two people filled out our survey, one suggesting that we rezone the property to residential. Now, there's this notion that this M2 is some sort of protection against incompatible uses is absolute nonsense. It is. As a matter of fact, it'd be better to have this use on this site with a zoning agreement limiting to this particular use, and you can even put a reversionary clause on that says that if this use terminates, so does that the zoning would revert back to M2. You can put hours of operation on. You can put days of operation. This company is prepared, and it was pointed out at the open house, they're prepared to establish a resident liaison committee. I believe they have one of those functioning in another one of their sites. If there's any operational issues, they're prepared to sit down and discuss them with the neighborhood. The people in the neighborhood will have a business card and can put a face to a name. This isn't some sort of some multinational that's coming in to destroy the neighborhood. They're here for the long haul. They're here to support a significant employer in the capital region, and they're here in response to things that have been happening in the scrap market, some disturbing things that might have impact that operation. There's concern this short-cutting traffic, and someone at the open house did say that he said that, you know, we'd have these peddler trucks coming through our neighborhoods and scrap would be bouncing out of the back of them and it would cut my tires. And, you know, I mean, I live in Wolseley. I have this, you know, people come up and down our back lane looking for scrap all the time. We put our scrap out for them. This is a household. You know, they want this location. It's central. It's for household recyclable metals principally. And a lot of that comes in peddler traffic. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of concern about the environment. I mean, the province recognizes this by making this a Class 1 facility. Maybe the bylaw should catch up. The zoning bylaw should catch up with what they're trying to accomplish everywhere else, and that is to encourage recycling. The people that bring metal to this place, I'm not sure that they're all going to be. I mean, the shortcutting is probably a lot of people that do this route on a daily basis and are accustomed, like you know just where you can shortcut and where you can't get around lights, like commuter traffic. I don't think that describes a normal person taking a stove there or something. It's going to automatically occur to him to shortcut through this neighborhood. I mean, it's just not, it's traffic is a concern everywhere, so you're always going to have this notion of shortcutting traffic. It's an industrial collector. There's 17,000 vehicles a day on this thing. I mean, it's loud. It's louder than the operation. We have the noise levels at this operation. In fact, I should submit, because we did noise monitoring at this location, the existing yard behind here, and in two other locations, and they're within, they meet the standard in the current bylaw for sound levels. They're below 60 decibels. The traffic noise is louder than that. The traffic noise is upwards of 90 decibels. I mean, you wouldn't hear this over traffic. And you combine that with the berming and the landscaping and the fencing and the location of that large countertop kitchen craft manufacturing, which I understand has some fairly loud equipment on the roof that probably howls 24/7, and the body shop, a banger and clanger there. But if you know, this area is, there's nothing like separation and screening, like buildings to attenuate sound and distance and buildings. I mean, it's not a loud operation. The historic context, the reality is this area, I mean, this neighborhood, this residential neighborhood, is sort of on the edge of the biggest industrial area in the city, and they've tolerated a lot over the years. Let's face it, the M3 use that was on the site was a very intensive use. They've had the refinery, they've had the stockyards, they've got stuff that still causes smell, the abattoirs. I mean, but this is such a small scale in relative to those huge, noxious industries. I mean, and let's face it, the conventional scrapyard, this just does not fit that mold. This is metal recycling. In fact, the previous owner had a conditional use for a metal recycling. Facility, and the order reads, for conditional use to permit recycling, material sorting, baling, and other processing uses. Now, this was before Gerdau, just initially, sort of when they had initial discussions with the previous owner, thought he'd maybe do them a favor and get a conditional use. Now, there's a number of uses, and this gets back to the notion that the M2 is somehow protecting this neighborhood. Here's things you can permit there as of right: adhesives manufacture, animal pound or kennel, auction yard, automobile manufacture, repair, sales, car wash, bottling plant, battery manufacturing, brewery, brick manufacturing, building materials, chemical manufacturing, compounding, concrete products manufacture, recycling depot, explosives manufacturing and storage, farm implement manufacturing, fish processing, bulk fuel sales, landscape contractor, laundry depot, lumber yard, heavy equipment, heavy machinery equipment manufacturing, sales service, metal products, manufacturing, finishing, plating, grinding, metal products, paint, varnish, shellac, lacquer, or turpentine manufacture, moving or storage establishment, pharmaceutical manufacturing, plastic products, public works.
I think we get the picture, Ross.
You get the picture. Towing service. You can have a trucking terminal there by right. These are things that can go there by right. This is their best protection, is to put this metal recycling facility here. Low-key operation, put some conditions on it if you like, but put a zoning agreement on, put a reversionary clause on. This is the neighborhood's best protection against getting some of these other uses that could go there in as of right. M2 is no protection, believe me. And the bylaw should catch up with an environmental-friendly recycling operation, and should, just the way it permits a recycling, household recycling. Are you talking all that blue box stuff, the cans and the boxes and the bags blowing around? I mean, I've driven by those household places. You could have one, the traffic those generate. This is a low traffic generator. It's not noxious. We have the sound. We've done the sound studies to demonstrate that. It's a low traffic volume compared to a lot of commercial uses that you could put there at 10 vehicles an hour. No matter how they paint this, it's not the big bad wolf.
Thank you.
And Mark might want to address some of the business case.
Okay, 2 minutes, Mark.
Sure. To speak to the issue of competition, I would argue that commercially, we'd be in competition with industrial metals. But I would want to reinforce that we'd be a very different operation from the traditional scrapyard. Again, low inventory, responsible operations top to bottom. It's what we're about. We're a very different animal in the scrap business. So.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Any questions? Okay, you can stand down, and then we're going to make our decision. Councillor Swindell, can you take the chair?
I will move that the report of the Winnipeg Public Service be taken as read. All those in favor, contrary, carried.
I will move that the receipt of public representation be concluded.
All those in favor, contrary, carried.